إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. الحمد لله we are in still in Aurelia and yesterday we went up to one of the highest wildlife conservation areas in Sri Lanka, which was the what was the top mountain?
World's End.
World's End, a place
Horton
called
Plains.
Horton Plains and World's End. As we were climbing up there, I was wondering why they call it Horton Plains, because there's nothing plain about it, it's all hills and mountains. Until we came to the top, and then it's, those of you who know the Annamalais, it's like grass hills. It's the same kind of tussocky grass with Shola forests. And there we saw some wonderful creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We saw the purple-faced leaf monkey, which is called the bear monkey, which looks like, they look like like the old colonels of the army sitting on trees, because they have big mustaches, which big handlebar mustaches, and apparently eating only leaves, looking for tender leaves. We got some nice pictures of that. At first I thought they ate the leaves only of a particular tree, but that does not seem to be the case, because we saw them eating leaves of all kinds of trees. We also saw sambar, which some of whom decided that they were people, so they would come to the place where the shops are and people feed them, which is not a good habit, it's a very bad habit. But anyway, I suppose sambar are also entitled to bad habits like us. So Sri Lanka seems to me to be a country that is that lacks many things. I was trying to list all that Sri Lanka lacks. So I think Sri Lanka lacks garbage, it lacks dirt, it lacks bad drivers, it lacks shouting and screaming, it lacks pollution, it lacks noise. Alhamdulillah, I think something is right with this country. You're doing something really good, mashallah. We don't see any of this stuff in Sri Lanka. Ajib. No garbage, can you imagine? I mean, you don't see any garbage. And of course, no cows in the road. I was looking for cows, so we went to, finally my friends got so tired of me looking for cows, they decided to take me and show me enough cows to last me for the rest of my life. We went to the, what is it?
Ambevela Farm.
Ambevela Farm. We went to the Ambevela Farm. And there I saw what happens to cows if they are not in politics. If they are in politics, then they spend their time on roads. And they eat garbage and plastic, and then they are put into gaushalas so that they can give employment to gaushala adhyaks, mohdes, who buzz around in SUVs while the cows languish in the gaushalas. But when cows are not in politics, we saw what happens to them in Ambevela Farm. And what happens to them is that they have thousands of acres of kikuyu grass and lucerne to eat, and they have fantastic milking sheds. We went inside this milking shed, we must have had at least about 200 cows in it, and it smelled sweet. I mean, you didn't smell cow dung and urine and so on. That thing smelled clean. Ajib, the way it is kept so beautifully. And then we went and saw all the other things there, including the stud bulls. And one of those stud bulls, I think he realized the reality of his life, because he was spending all his time bashing his head on the wall. So I think he grew up. Yes, really, seriously, he seemed to have grown up with an image of what a stud bull's life should be like. And then he came to Ambevela Farm and he discovered something else. So so he's trying to, tell us that the promos of things is not the same as the reality of the app. So, but what I was thinking to myself, what was the most impressive thing that I saw? And actually, the most impressive thing that I saw, And it so happened, none of you guys were there. You were all in the milking shed. So after I finished on the milking shed, I came out. I was standing outside. And just outside the main dairy sheds, I saw there was, for the first time, I was looking for, you know, some, not garbage, but at least some cow dung on the road or something. I must see this. You know, it's very important for me as an Indian to be able to see these things. So I saw this. I saw there was some cow dung and some grass, which was just outside the cow sheds in the open area. This was there on the road. Not the road, the open area there. And then as I'm standing there, I see this guy on, they have all these wonderful scrambler bikes which they use. So he had this, there was this guy who was obviously one of the officers of this dairy farm. He was not a, within quotes, a worker, so to speak. He was one of the, because he had this very nice yellow Wellington boots, and he was in uniform, and he was riding this scrambler bike. He came around a bend, he stopped the bike, he went and found a spade, he came and picked up this cow dung and this stuff, and threw it in the garbage, put back the spade, got onto his bike and went away. I said, Rajiv, hey, what strange behavior. I mean, Sri Lankans are crazy people, I think. Imagine stopping, he's going, this is an officer of the place. I mean, he didn't even call somebody and said, hey, inge vada, adi eduthu po, adi kondu po, or nothing. No, he himself, he got off his bike, he picks up a spade, he cleans this, removes this cow dung. I mean, this is a dairy farm, for God's sake. If there is cow dung on the road, so what? What do you expect? Not gold. But he actually does that. I thought to myself, Subhanallah, Rajiv, the most, and he wasn't trying to impress me. He doesn't know who the hell I am. He doesn't know me from a soap, bar of soap. I mean, I'm some guy standing there, right? So that means that this whole issue of keeping the environment clean is part of the system, is part of the culture of the place. It's not something which is done because you are running some cleanliness program for the country. This is something which people do, period. Halas. It's not even something which you remark about. It's only somebody like me who comes and sees it and, you know, makes a big song and dance about it and is telling the world. Nobody in Sri Lanka even spoke about these things to me. Nobody even mentioned this. It's not something which is even mentioned because it is so natural. And that is why the country seems to be so beautifully clean. I mean, we travel a few hundred kilometers and, you know, in few hundred kilometers, not one single pothole, not one single cow on the road, not one single pat of cow dung on the road. No, I didn't see a single piece of plastic, no, nothing. Subhanallah. This shows the importance of putting principles of life into action. We like to say cleanliness is half of nisful iman, half of iman. True, it is. Only if you have it. Otherwise, it's not there. Just saying it doesn't make it clean. But alhamdulillah, this is the, as I said, the most impressive thing I saw was this. The reason I'm saying all this is because in Islam, we like to talk about good deeds. We say we should do good deeds and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned many times in the Quran and so on. And we should do good deeds, no doubt. But to me, even more important than doing good deeds is to preserve the good deeds we have. In financial language, it's a difference between earning primary income and investing that income. Right? Saving and investing income. Now, as you know, with money also, no matter how much money you earn, if you simply put that money even into the bank, we don't take interest, so it would be an interest-free current deposit. Or if you put that money into a box and put it under your bed, or however you save it. If you simply keep money as money, then it loses value. Thanks to inflation over the years, it loses value. So the rupee or the dollar in 1900 is not worth the same as it is today in 2017. Right? It's hugely come down in value, and this happens to all money. You keep it in one place, it goes. So with money, what do we advise? We advise people, number one, yes, your earnings should be high. Try to maximize your earnings, no doubt about that. but also concentrate on two things. One is savings, converting those earnings into savings, but savings in a way where the savings earn for you. It's not dead savings. So invest that money for the purpose of saving, but invest it in earning assets. That's the language we use. Invest that money in earning assets, not in dead assets. Asset is still an asset, but it's a dead asset. What's even worse is a depreciating asset. An asset which looks like an asset, but it's losing value over time, right? An expensive car is not an asset, it's a depreciating asset because it loses value over time. Whereas a piece of real estate, for example, is an appreciating asset. You buy it for something today and tomorrow it's worth more. So, just keeping money in a box is a silly thing because it loses value. But even when you're buying things, an investment is called an investment only if it is an appreciating asset. You can't call something which depreciates as an investment. It's an expenditure, it's not an investment. There's a difference between expense and investment. So we say, do this. Make sure that you are saving, and make sure that you are saving in earning assets. And of course, the third thing is, obviously, make sure that your money actually doesn't get stolen. So physically protect that money by keeping it in a form that it can't be stolen, which doesn't necessarily include putting it in a bank, because if the bank fails, then it's all gone in one shot. So make sure it is safe, number one. Number two, make sure it's invested in earning assets. The same thing applies to deeds. Same thing applies to our good deeds. Number one is maximize the earning. How do you maximize the earning? You maximize the earning, number one, and most importantly, by fulfilling the fara'id of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fard, do that. That's the basic thing. I mean, it's without that, you are nowhere, right? So, like we say, what is the first thing you must do? Get a good job or start a good business. That's the first thing. If you don't have that, you are on the street. I mean, you have no earning at all. So, therefore, number one is fulfill the fara'id of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which includes, of course, ensuring that you earn halal, you eat halal, you do not have any mixture of halal and haram in your earnings or your food. This is very, very critically important. So, number one is in terms of earning, and maximize that, so which is fulfill the fara'id. And second thing is, then maximize that, meaning do more than what the fard is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 2 rakat of fajr fard, then you also pray 2 rakat of sunnah, which is in addition to that. In Dhuhr, 4 rakat is fard, you also pray additionally the sunnah for Dhuhr, and so on and so forth. So that is that. Then increase it even more by doing the nawafil, which is things like tahajjud, which is the best of them. Make tahajjud into a fard on yourself for the whole of your life. Because if your life begins with that, you wake up a little bit before fajr, you pray 2 rakat of tahajjud. If Allah gives you tawfiq, pray more. But pray 2 rakat of tahajjud, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you need, whatever you want for yourself, for others, for your friends, for your teachers, for your family, for your country, for the world. Allah knows this world needs dua. This world needs dua very badly. So, let us do that. Let us make sure. Not only for Muslims, make dua for everybody. Because only if everyone is happy, can you be happy. Happiness and sadness is not restricted to ourselves individually or to our community. It is a factor of what happens with everybody else. You cannot have a bunch of happy Muslims in the middle of a whole lot of unhappy other people. You can't have a bunch of happy Hindus in the middle of a whole lot of other people, Muslims and so on and so forth, and Sikhs and Christians who are unhappy. It doesn't work like that. You can't be clean when you are swimming in a lake which is dirty. You can't say, the lake itself is dirty, but I am swimming in the lake, I have no choice, I am in the lake, but around me there will be clean water. How is it possible, tell me? It's not possible. If you are in the lake, the only way that you can make sure that you are swimming in clean water is clean the whole lake. If the whole lake is clean, then everybody swims in clean water. If the lake is filthy, then everyone is in the filthy water, whether you like it or not. And that's why, as far as the earnings are concerned, maximize those earnings. Make sure. So, faraid, sunnat, nafil, and then do mustahabat, which is do things which are good to do. If you don't do them, there is no punishment on you, but if you do them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you beyond your wildest imagination. And in those things, including of course in the fard, is how we treat people. I've been saying so many things about the good things I see in Sri Lanka. All of these have to do with, these are not ibadat. Keeping a road clean is not ibadat. It is something which, I mean, it is ibadah in the sense if you are doing it with, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, removing a stone or some obstruction from the path is sadaqah. So inshallah, this is ibadah. But I'm saying that people here are doing things which are benefit for the whole society. So let us focus on that and say, what is it in my life where I am benefiting other people? Whatever that way of benefit is, whether you are, you know, funding hospitals or schools or cleanliness drives or whatever it is, anything, whatever is beneficial, ask yourself this question every morning when you, every evening when you go to sleep and say, today who did I benefit? Today what is my score? And that brings me to the, again to the issue of investment. When you are doing investment, what do? You do a daily analysis of your current stock, right? Your current, as far as your stocks are concerned, your current portfolio, what is it worth today? I mean, I don't know of any serious investor who does not have some, many of them even have a minute by minute, you know, status. But I think that's like freaking out. But at least at the end of the day, you must know what is your net worth, what is your value. Has it gone up today, gone down today, what's happened? Right? So it's not only any serious investor. I mean, you have stocks, you have a shop, you have business. What is your business doing? If you do not have a, about Sam Walton, it is, you know, mashur, well known that Sam Walton used to expect every clerk, every store assistant in any of the Walmart stores to have a piece of, the only thing they were allowed to, you know, look it up with a piece of paper. But every day, what was your sale yesterday? And what is your estimate for today? These were two figures that Sam Walton, and he used to come and do surprise checks. He would just come to the store and go directly to a store assistant, you know, the guy who's on the counter, right? Cash counter, selling counter, doing the, putting stuff into the store, stock into the shelves. Anybody, he would catch him, he say, what was your sale yesterday? And he expected that person to give him a number. Everyone in the store. Can you believe it? Some loader taking off stuff from the store and from the truck and putting into the store. He would start with, what was your sale yesterday? He's not a salesman. He's not even selling. No, I don't care. You are working in the store. You must know what is your sale. If we ask ourselves a question and say, what is my worth today before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm not talking about your own. This is between you and Allah. I'm not saying you must not tell this to anybody. But what is in your view? And don't fall into this thing of saying, oh, what you see, I'm worthless, I'm like garbage. That is nonsense. That's hypocritical rubbish. Take your own personal stock and say, what is it? What is my standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because this is what is going to be in your favor or my favor or against us, may Allah protect us, when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that might be this morning, that might be in 10 seconds from now. Right? May Allah protect you and give you long and healthy lives. But I'm saying that death is a reality and it will come at any moment of time. So like Sam Walton can come at any time and ask the store guys, what was your sale? That was, the poor guy is dead. But I'm saying, as far as we are concerned, Malakul Maut Allah will send. And he will come and say, Salaam Alaikum, time to go, let's go. What was your sale? What did you do? This is what we have to be very clear about. So, what was my earning? And then going a step further to say, how did I spend this earning? Did I protect it? Or did I do good deeds? Then I did ribat, so all the good deeds got transferred into somebody else's account. Wire transfer gone. So, my account is blank, even though I did all of this. But because I bad-talked somebody else, it all went off somewhere else. We know it is haram. We know what happens. Why do we do it? Right? Or what else did I do? I mean, I did the good deed, but then I oppressed somebody, I created a problem for my neighbor, whatever I did. Right? Maybe I parked my car in a stupid way, which caused harm to somebody, irritation to somebody. Maybe I, you know, assassinated somebody's honor. Because you ill-treat someone, you beat someone, you curse somebody, and that poor guy, because he's working for you, he's a servant of somebody, he keeps quiet, not because he thinks you are great, but because he has his... So, okay, this comes with the... One of the perks of this job is that I get cursed, you know. May Allah protect us. This is the reality of many people. So, what happens to your good deeds? Because on the day of judgment, that servant and you are going to stand as equals before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he will demand his right. He will say, Ya Allah, this man beat me. Ya Allah, this man cursed me. And remember, even if that servant is not a Muslim, makes no difference. Before Allah, he will stand. Before Allah, he will stand. We came into this house. I noticed these things when we came into this house. We were going to pray because it was time for Salah. And who did we ask? What is the direction of the Qibla?
Paul.
And did he show us the right direction? Yes.
Yes.
He put the musalla, he showed us the right direction. Paul, right? Okay, that's nice. Now, on the day of judgment, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the message of Islam, I'm not saying he has to be forced, no, there's no force in Islam, but if this message of Islam was not communicated to Paul, and all such Pauls in the world, they will stand before Allah and they will say, Allah, before you send me wherever you want to send me, you tell me what must happen to the man and the woman to whom I showed the direction of your Qibla. But he or she never told me about you. They never introduced me to you. I don't know who you are. I never knew. All my life I stayed there. But I used to show them the direction of the Qibla. I used to make sure that the food they eat is halal. I don't know what is halal. But I used to make sure that they eat halal. This Islam is a responsibility. Doesn't come free. Allah's Jannah is not free. Allah's Jannah is very, very beautiful. Alhamdulillah, we are seeing some reflection of it here. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this a very beautiful country, alhamdulillah. But all of this is for our learning. You see this and you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at this, like that stream we saw yesterday. Yeah? The moss in the stream, the clarity of the water, because of the light of the sun, the color of the moss in the stream, somewhere it looks blue, somewhere it looks green. Absolutely beautiful stream. Clean, clean, clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannatin tajri min tahti al-anhar. What is Jannah? Allah said, these are gardens under which streams flow. And Allah showed us a glimpse of that yesterday. We ask Allah for the real thing, inshallah. May Allah gather us on that day in the same way. But that comes with a responsibility, and the responsibility is to communicate this message to everybody. Do it in the most beautiful way, because obviously there is no force. How can you force somebody to do something? No. But do it in the most beautiful way, do it in the most sincere way, and do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Do not take any compensation for the work of dawah in this dunya if you want compensation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you meet Him. I don't say you will get it or you will not get it. Allah knows best. But definitely, as far as I am concerned, I know this and we know this in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this one thing about His anbiya, and He said that they do not take compensation from anyone for this work of deen. They do not ask you for reward for the work of this deen. Do the work of dawah like the Anbiya did it, because they are the example for us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us together on the day of judgment under the shade of His arsh in the company of the best of them, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the same way that He gathered us together here to remember Him, to glorify Him, and to invite each other to obey Him and live our lives as described by and as demonstrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.